Good morning. Buenos dias. We bring you greetings from the Triangle Church of Christ. It really is amazing and awesome to be able to worship our God together. We are excited to be able to preach to you this morning. We've got to let you know who we are, because maybe you've heard of the major prophets before. You might have heard also about the minor prophets, but I don't know if you've heard of the minority ministers, because that's who we are. That's copywritten by our daughters. Corey and my daughters, they came up with that. They also call us the Crispy Christians, but that's a whole nother. So we get a little darker. I'm light mocha. This is milk chocolate, and that's dark chocolate. Now only our wives can call us that. But I just want to assure you that what we have to say doesn't get darker as we speak. It gets lighter. Because God's word is amazing. Amen? Amen. It's good to worship with you guys. It's kind of hard to just kind of jump into a lesson without giving thanks to the brothers and the sisters here that are leading. God, we love the Charlotte Church. We appreciate the leadership for their example, the way that they serve. I have experiences with pretty much every leader here in the church. I've been excited to spend the last couple of years at the Outer Banks, just building our memories together. I have a relationship with Rodney back in Bolivia when I was a missionary out there. Ron has been just a legend, you know, in my life, as I've heard him preach throughout the years in the different places he's been. And their wives obviously make them better than what I can even paint them out to be. But it really is exciting to be here, and we're excited to be able to preach God's word to you. I've been told I got a little extra time, so the introduction part is not part of my sermon. So I'm about to start the clock right now, and we're going to preach the word here. All right. Acts chapter 8. Amen? Acts chapter 8. The title of our message is Loving God, Loving One Another, and Making Disciples That Make Disciples. I'm going to try to tackle the part of loving God, and I'm going to warn you here. What we have to say is more like a snack. You're going to have to dig deeper into this as we just bring out some things that just really stands out to us when it comes to these subjects. And they're all tethered together. But the whole topic about loving God, as you look at the book of Acts, there's so many. It's rich in story of how we can learn to love God when we look at the scriptures, and particularly in the book of Acts. And so there's one particular story here in Acts chapter 8. Those of us who have been around for a long time have heard these verses before being read, or you've studied it out. If you're visiting for the first time, I want you to pay attention to what's happening in the story. And I'm going to try to explain it and then share a few points, and then we'll have Clayton come up, and then after that, Corey. But in Acts chapter 8, in verse 26, there's a story. Here it begins this way. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. And on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with this very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And then as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. "Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns, and he reached Caesarea. This is an incredible story. We see an incredible story of what it means to love God. How to love God from a seeker's perspective, and how to love God from a follower of Jesus' perspective. We got to know and we got to be reminded that if you're going to love God, it's got to initiate from the Father himself. The love that he has for us is one that compels others to seek him. See, if you don't get anything today, you got to understand that the love that we have for God and the love that God has for us has got to be the anchor in anything that you do. And if you want to build loving relationships with one another, if you want to make disciples that make disciples, if you don't understand that love that God has for you and the one that we're supposed to have for him, then you're wasting your time. That is the energy, that is the drive. In this story, we have God initiating, talking to an angel, telling the angel, "Go talk to Philip, my servant." And Philip goes, he listens, he obeys. He doesn't have a lot of instructions other than to go. He goes along this man, this Ethiopian eunuch that is gone to Jerusalem to worship. He's not Jewish. He's just someone who had heard about Jesus months before Jesus had been crucified. He hears the story and he's pursuing God by reading about him in the book of Isaiah or the scroll that he had. Now that's a nice picture for us that are following Jesus, to find someone who's already reading their Bible. What an opportunity. And so here is Philip obeying the Spirit who has spoken to the angel, and he goes and he notices that he's reading, and as he's reading, just the Spirit puts on his heart to ask, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And then there's a response there, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" What an incredible picture of humility there. You know, there are a lot of people in our world, in our life, that are important. This guy was an important guy. And I think we surround ourselves with people that are around us that are busy. We know that they're busy. You're busy. And they feel important what they're doing. But how cool it is when you find someone that'd be humble. If you're a seeker today, I hope that you follow this humility to want to know, want to learn, to ask questions about what you're reading, what you're understanding about God up to this point. So what happens here? He explains it. And he explains it so much, so beautifully, about what Isaiah is talking about, who's talking about Jesus, that he sees some waters are traveling, and it's on the eunuch's heart to say, "Man, why shouldn't I be baptized?" And then we see what entails. What happens? He's baptized. Philip is rejoicing, the eunuch's rejoicing, and then God continues his mission with these two men and what they would do to continue to further God's kingdom. Let me say this. If you love God, you're going to obey him. You know, we know those five languages of love, right? Can I tell you what God's love language is? It's called obedience. That's his love language. If you have any question about what God expects of us, when you understand how much he's done for you, is he expects obedience. John 14:15 reminds me that Jesus, he's not threatening us when he says it, but he says in John 14 that if you love me, you will obey me. That's what he expects out of every man, any woman. And let me say this, when we're talking about loving God, let's not forget the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is something that sometimes we can just kind of forget, right? Books written about it, forgotten God. You guys know this. But I realized even in the last couple of years in my life how audible the voice of the Holy Spirit is in my life when I just stop and pay attention. See, here's the thing about Philip and even the Ethiopian eunuch. We're just like them. We got busy lives. We're trying to do the right thing, right? And we get so busy that we'll put the lists that God has put on our hearts maybe to accomplish, and we'll leave God behind. Have you ever did that before? You wake up in the morning, you have a great quiet time, and then, okay, you have these things that you're going to do, and then you leave God behind, and you say, I'll see you later when you're done. That's not the way God works. It's step by step. It's being in the moment, being at that situation and saying, God, what would you have me do right now? Holy Spirit, what would you have me do at this moment? That is living in obedience. That is someone who is actually wanting to build a relationship with God. We are crowded in life, busy, noisy, distracted. We need to stand out, not blend in. We need to be men and women that are available and obedient. The light to this world is someone who stops and pauses and waits for the Lord. If you want to do an incredible Bible study, study waiting on the Lord in your Bible. You will learn things in your character, in your walk with God, that only He can reveal. You see, the Bible in many ways can be like looking at God in a resume. When you pick up someone's resume, for those of you who have read resumes before or prepared one, do you know everything about people through the resume? No. You know, the resume may look impressive and you're like, I want to get to know this person that has written some of the things about his resume. God's word is like his resume, but relationship means you want to get to know him. You want to get to live with him. You want to be in community with him. You know what's amazing about this passage of scripture? You know how much community it needed to happen in order for this eunuch to become a Christian? There was God. There was the angel. There was Philip. There was talking about Jesus. There was the Holy Spirit moving through all of that. We need community, brothers and sisters, to see God. There are things that only in community will you be able to see God. None of this nonsense of like, nah, it's just me and God right now. You know that each one of us are God's masterpiece. We're a piece of who He is as a master. And so when you meet someone, doesn't matter the color of their skin, what their background is, if they're tall, if they're short, it doesn't matter. They're all part of God's amazing work. And I wonder, when we meet people for the first time, do we admire the things of God in them? See, sharing our faith shouldn't be about, you know, bringing them to church or even sitting down and studying the Bible. Those are all good things. But it needs to be about recovering the glory of God in someone who's using it for someone else, for something else. When you study the Bible, you are recovering that glory that God's put in them. You know, every person here, every person in the world has something amazing and special and powerful to contribute to the kingdom of God. They just, some of them don't know it yet. Some of us are sitting in here and you don't know it. But I want you to know, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that desires for you to use that gift, those talents that He's blessed you with, so that you can see how special it is. Because I know in a group this big, you're doubting yourself right now. Loving God, knowing that He loves you, will help you to see these things. But you got to do it in community. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Pause to listen to Him speak. He is speaking to you right now. And I encourage us to be men and women that are listening to this God that created everything, created you, and wants to use you in an incredible way like we see in this story to bring more and more people to this God that loves us. To love God means to obey God. You know, I'm so grateful. It's kind of hard to, you know, I'm going to stop, but I promise. To be here preaching with these two gentlemen that I'm preaching with. You know, I've learned, even through our relationship and our friendship in the last 2 or 3 weeks even, how much God loves me. You know, we've been sharing some things. We've been talking about things that, man, only because of the love of God can I trust the men that are in my life like these two to not only just to preach with, but to live life with. You know, the Spirit moves us all over the place, and I don't know where the Spirit's going to take me or take them. But one thing I do every time, the last time we were together, I said to them, and I said this really heartfelt, I said, don't forget me. Don't forget me. You know how life is, right? Things happen. I'm like, I looked at them and I was getting a little emotional. I'm like, I am Latino. You know, that happens. I said, don't forget me, because I know how the Spirit works. And when you obey God, you might end up like Philip. You might be over here, you might be over there. Things, crazy things happen in God's kingdom, but they're good things. Let's obey God. Let's love Him with all our hearts. Amen? Amen.
You know, it is great to be here with you. I know many of you may know me as a song leader. You've seen me on different stages singing songs. I love to sing. But there's nothing like preaching God's word. There's nothing like also being together with John and Corey and spending time with those brothers. I love those brothers. I really love those brothers. I appreciate their friendship. Thank you to the Charlotte Church for allowing us to be here today. I'm here to talk about the second point in this particular message, and it's about loving one another. See, loving God is extremely important. As John mentioned, that is the catalyst. That brings about everything else that falls behind this. But we have to love one another. And I want to take an approach to this that's a little bit different than what you may think. I want you to think about how we love one another in the words that we use with one another and how we speak to one another. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I love this passage, and I'll explain as I go along why this passage means so much to me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, it says, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body." It says, "Do not let," there in verse 29, "any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." Flip over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Buckle up for this one, all right? In verse 9, it says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be." My brothers and sisters, this should not be. The words that we use have the power to bring about life and hope and healing, or they can bring about destruction and death. Think about what you said this morning. Think about what you thought about. What may have come out of your mouth with your kids? What may have come out of your mouth with your spouse? Were they words that brought about healing and hope, or were they words that brought about destruction and death? See, God desires for us to speak words to one another that bring about life, that bring about healing, that put us in a place to be encouraged and to have hope. You see, speaking truthfully to someone is always important. The Bible commands us to do that. But it's a big difference between speaking truthfully with the spirit of love and encouragement and speaking honestly with a critical spirit and a critical heart. Two different things. God wants us to speak truthfully to help encourage. See, it's one thing to have constructive criticism, but it's another thing, again, to have a critical attitude and a critical spirit when we're helping and talking to someone. The Bible here uses a word that I want us to understand exactly what that word means this morning. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome." That word unwholesome, the Greek word for that is the word sapros. Here's what that word means. It means putrid. It means rotten. It means foul, rank, worthless. Do you like anything that's putrid? Do you like anything that's rotten? We throw away things that are worthless. See, the Bible here tells us, says, "Do not let anything putrid," anything foul, anything rank, anything rotten, come out of your mouths. We want to throw all that stuff away. We want to get rid of that. God so much desires us to be able to draw people to us. And with our words, we can do that. Also with our words, we can push people away. Let's not push people away this morning, brothers and sisters. Let's draw people to us and to God by the words that we speak to one another. See, I love this passage because it makes things very practical for us. It breaks down things down into a very simple form. See, here in this passage, we get to understand the what, the how, and the why when it comes to us speaking to one another. He says the what is speak what is helpful for building others up. That's what we need to say. Words that will help build each other up. So when you say things to people, are you saying things to build them up or to tear them down? Do you want them to be lifted up or do you want them to be crushed and pushed down? Our words have the ability to do both. God desires for us to speak words that build up. When was the last time you put something on social media that you regret it? Someone who may have said something to you that you didn't like, and in turn you responded to them with words that didn't build up, but tore down. You see, once words come out, you can't take them back. You can apologize for anything that you say, but those words have still been spoken, and you can't take them back. But when you speak words of love, of encouragement, there's no need to take them back because you want people to hear those things. He tells us what in the way we need to speak to help build others up. He also gives us the how we need to speak. And he tells us to do so according to their needs. Not according to our needs or my needs, but according to their needs. So when I'm speaking to someone, do I speak to them according to what they need or according to what I need? See, here's some ways that you can tell. When you're about to go and share something with someone, if in your mind you say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. If that's what you're going into it saying and thinking, then you're not speaking according to their needs. It's according to your needs. Or if you're thinking, I just need to get this off my chest. You just need to hear what I got to say. When you're thinking that way, it's according to your needs and not their needs. See, God makes things very, very clear to us. Then he gives us the why. Why do we need to not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths? He tells us that, he says, so that it will benefit those who listen. If I'm going to say something to someone, I want it to benefit them. And I want them to be able to listen to me. When we speak words that are rotten and that are putrid, no one wants to hear that. But they want to hear something that's going to help benefit them. When you speak, do you speak to others to benefit them or benefit yourself? So what are some things, some words that are important for us to be able to say to our spouse, our children, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers that will help build them up, that will help meet their needs, and that will help benefit them so that they will listen? What about the words, I love you? The words, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do. See, those words, they build up. Those words bring about encouragement. What about two simple words that we can say? Thank you. Thank you. How often in our households do we ask for something, someone gives it to us, and we never say thank you? We just expect them to do what we ask them to do, but we don't say thank you. Thank you goes a long way. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Saying those words can heal a broken relationship. Being able to admit that we wronged someone and to say, I am so sorry for what I have done. That pulls people together. I forgive you. I forgive you. Pulls people together. How can I help you? What is it that you need from me to help you? All those things. Those are the kind of words that God wants us to speak to one another. You know, there's a situation that we had with my oldest son. We were celebrating his birthday. We were in a restaurant together. And as we were looking around, there was a particular waitress who was helping people and serving people. But there was one particular table that she was waiting on. They were not happy. And they didn't have any problem letting her know that they were not happy. They pretty much gave her every particular thing that was hurtful and harmful to hear that you could get. She was very discouraged, and we could see it. Our family decided, you know what? We want her to know that we appreciate what she is doing. So we decided that all the things that we were going to share with her, we're going to help build her up. Every time she came to our table, we told her, thank you. We appreciate what you're doing. We're grateful for your service. Thank you. By the time she finished waiting on us, she was smiling. She even stopped to have a conversation with us for about 5 minutes. You know, words that we say can do incredible things to build people up. You know, Paul was one of the masters of sharing encouraging words. I'm going to give you some scriptures that I want you to go back and just take a look at a later time. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Verses 6 through 7, and also verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. Also Philippians 4, verse 1. And finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Today, as you hear the things that are spoken, loving God and loving one another, I want you to think very deeply about how God wants us to love one another with the words that we speak to one another. Make it your ambition and your goal to speak words that will bring life and that will bring hope. To God be the glory.
It is good to be back home. My spiritual birthplace. First of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank my mom and dad in the faith, Ron and Lavanya Drabo, who changed stuff in our lives. And I am eternally grateful, not just for the Drabos, but for this whole church. I have so many friendships in this room, so many relationships that will last for eternity. I am grateful for you guys and how much you believe in our family, you believe in us. I'm grateful for the leadership that God has brought to Charlotte with the Fullers. I don't know if you know this about your evangelist, but he is a smack talker. Yeah, Rodney's a smack talker. And so me and Rodney have some good times together. We go at it. And but I love that brother. I love Jennifer. Love the family. Love this family of believers. Thank you guys for having us come speak. Clayton and John have become just some dear friends of mine, and we really do share our lives together. We've grown deeper in the last 2 or 3 weeks together, and just pouring it out, you know, thinking about the next generation of leaders and where our church is going to be and where our church is going to grow and how our kids will be affected by that. And so it's an honor to preach with my brothers. Clayton won best dressed among the minority ministers. John won most handsome, and they said they didn't have a category for me. To God be the glory. Loving God means to obey God. Loving one another means to speak to one another with kind words and to build one another up. My wife commented while Clayton was preaching that she should have had this scripture on Monday. And I said, girl, go ahead and put that as your wallpaper on your phone. Amen. Making disciples that make disciples. I want to give you two words this morning. I'm going to be very brief. I like to get to the point. We're coming out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. All of us know this. We don't even have to turn to our Bibles. I want you guys to say it with me. Therefore, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey. What?
Everything.
I can't hear you.
Everything,
and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And the church said, amen. In verse 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples. I got two A's for you this morning when you talk about making disciples that make disciples. The first A is activity.
Okay.
Activity. The Greek verb translated go is actually not a command. Here, it's used as a present participle. It's actually the word going. So if we were to reread this passage, okay, it would say, while you are going, make disciples of all nations. I like that. So making disciples becomes about, not about making an appointment to share your faith. It's not about scheduling a time with a brother and sister to share your faith. It's not about cold calling to share your faith, although those things are successful as well. But Jesus says, while you are going, while you are going to work, while you are going to school, while you are going to work out, while you're going grocery shopping, while you are going to visit mom and dad, while you are going to visit your relatives, while you are going to the movies or to Starbucks, teens, make disciples of all nations. We're supposed to be witnesses of God wherever we go. Make disciples that make disciples. I am the head basketball coach at Wakefield Middle School, where my oldest son Chase goes to school at this point. And my assistant coach this year that was actually selected for me, his name is Joseph Smokes. and he's on fire. And Joseph is the deputy sheriff of Wake County. And he is the courtesy officer in the school, and he was assigned to be my assistant coach this year. Joseph is a country boy. He is from South Carolina. He's got that southern twang. He's 26 years old. He's also dark chocolate. He's an athlete. He's an incredible young man. In the 11 months that I've been in the Wakefield community, me and Joseph have grown closer together. We started to share our lives. We started to become friends. And even after basketball season, he would call me two or three times a week. And we would talk about our lives. To finally, he asked me, "Will you study the Bible with me?" Me and Joseph are now studying the Bible. We started studying the Bible and for about 3 weeks straight there, and then he went on this trip, and then we just kept, I just kept loving him. I didn't ask him about the Bible study, I just kept loving him. Because it wasn't about the Bible study, it was about our friendship. So I just kept loving him. And I kept praying for him. And then a couple weeks ago, he calls me. He says, "Corey, I have booked the clubhouse at my apartment complex for every Monday until we finish." And at the front, and when we go into the clubhouse, that first study, we're sitting down, we're getting ready to study the Bible. Ladies walk by and they see us studying the Bible. They're like, "I want to study the Bible too." So then Joseph booked every Tuesday in his apartment complex in that clubhouse. So now we're starting to study with the community. The greatest joy in my life in regards to being a disciple is being able to study the Bible with people and see the Holy Spirit change and transform them. If I didn't have to preach, if I didn't have to do a D time, if I didn't have to get with Rodney, that would be awesome. I could just study the Bible all day with people. I love Rock. Jesus is Lord right now. Activity. Are you sharing your faith as you go? When was the last time you were in a Bible study? Man, I could go deeper into that, but I want you guys to have lunch. The second name. Authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The KJV says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Matthew is an incredible book because it stresses the authority of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 9, it says that Jesus, there was authority in his teaching. Matthew 9:6 said that he had the authority to forgive sins. Matthew 10:1 says that, what did it say? That Jesus had authority over Satan. And he gave that authority to the apostles. Jesus has been given the authority in heaven and on earth. So while you are going, on whose authority are you going with? Are you going with your authority? Are you going on your strength? Are you going on your power? That's why it's so crucial to read our Bibles. To be strengthened by God. That's why it's so essential to depend on the Holy Spirit. To keep in step with the Holy Spirit. So while I am going, I got the power of Jesus with me. And so throughout my day, everywhere I'm going, while I am going, I'm praying because Jesus might set someone right in my midst to share my faith like he did with Philip. And do I listen to the Spirit? Do I obey the commands of God? Do I use the power of Jesus? How many times has the Spirit prompted you to share your faith and you said no? Because we were thinking about our power. They won't be open. I'm intimidated. I'm scared. I'm fearful. He's a lot smarter than me. God's a lot smarter than him. How many times did you go on your power? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Isn't it incredible that we have access to that power? Yes. That is incredible that we have access to that power. Say it with me again, church. Therefore, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to who? Therefore, love God, love one another, make disciples, then make disciples. And all God's people said, amen.